insurrection, obstruction, indictments, civilly liable for sexual abuse. The one man responsible for all that could be sitting in a prison cell on Election Day and still be elected Commander-in-Chief for these United States. That man is beholden to Putin, weakened NATO the last time around, and is currently tying himself to wealthy Saudi oil money. He enriched himself when government stated his properties. He campaigned on wanting to use government to go after his political rivals and wants to expand executive power. If Donald Trump is reelected, our nation is lost. So let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, and tell the MAGA folks no more before it's too late. Conversation, because apparently Blog Talk Radio is working again. It's 914-803-4131. It's 914-803-4131. If you are going to call in, come to the either of the chats, either at liberaldanradio.com, which is the YouTube channel, or to twitch.tv/liberaldanradio, and leave just your area code that you're calling from in so we can do a little bit of call screening. We're not using the Blog Talk Radio chat, so we don't want to monitor three chats again. Just too much to do. Excuse me. Unless I know who you are, then I might be able. I'll pick you up anyway because I see Khalil on the line. So we'll get to Khalil in a second. What else? To support the show, if you're on YouTube, remember to like the video, share it, subscribe to the channel if you've not already done so. I'm sure most people on here have already done so, but comment and like and share other videos to make sure that they get the algorithms going and spread the reach of Liberal Dan Radio far and wide, from sea to shining sea of the United States, as our former president would like to say. You can do that. You can become a Liberal Dan Radio Danimal, a Liberal Danimal, if you will, on YouTube, a little as $2 a month. You can super chat, super sticker. On Twitch, if you have Amazon Prime, you could subscribe for free. It doesn't cost you anything. You can also do the regular subscription without Prime and or buy bits and or other and pay for the bits that way. And that will also help support the show. Trucker John's here. Good to see you, Trucker John. Shouts out to the Mod Squad, Aaron and Jolie. Jolie is running a little bit late today, but that's cool. Take care of whatever you need to take care of, Jolie. We'll try and hanging without you. You could also become a Liberal Dan Radio patron, patreon.com/liberaldan or patreon.liberaldan.com. Anyway, either way gets you there. You can buy me a cider, go to liberaldan.com, click the buy me a cider button, or go to buymeacoffee.com/liberaldanradio. Either way will get you there as well for one time, or you could also Venmo Liberal Dan, just do friends and family because you're not buying anything for me. There is another way to help out. There's also, as you know, if you paid attention to the show, I also do a Nerdy Dan stream, nerdydan.com. It's Nerdy Dan, D-O-T-C-O-M, everywhere, Twitch, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all the places on nerdydan.com over there. And one of the things that I'm doing this week, I don't even remember the previous time that I did this, but I got opted in to push another game out to the masses. To try and see if people can hit certain thresholds. And I describe it in the show description on YouTube. I think also on Blog Talk Radio I described it as well. Basically, you download the game for free. You can play it for free. There's no need for you to spend any money at this. I mean, if you want to, I'm not going to stop you. But there's no, you know, I basically hit the first threshold in this game without spending any money, probably within 5-10 minutes or so, maybe a little bit more. It was very quick. If you just follow all of the on-screen prompts to do all that. And I'll talk about that more a little bit if you want to find out more about that on Nerdy Dan tomorrow at the Nerdy Dan stream, because I'm going to kind of be focusing on that for a good bit of the stream since I've finished some of the other stuff I needed to do. However, if you do want to get a start on it, there's maybe about a week left that you can play the game and get the stuff. But as always, I like to play the games first to see if I can hit at least the first two thresholds without spending any money before asking y'all to do it, because I don't want y'all to have to spend money on games when you don't have to. So it's a free game to play on your phone. And if you just do a little bit of it, I think the second part does require you to join an alliance. I formed an alliance. If you want to contact me, we can get you in the alliance or whatever. You have to do a rally or whatever. I'll talk more in details tomorrow to get that. But if you want to help out the show, if everybody does whatever they need to do, I could get up over $1,000 just for everybody playing a free game. So, and it's just a free game for a little bit. I've only been playing a couple days. I've already hit the first two thresholds. So if you need something to do while laying in bed before going to sleep, or sitting on the john, or just wasting time a day, just not, you know, procrastinating from doing other things that are useful, click the link, download the game, and you can also have fun. You're basically building a little ant colony. No uncles, sorry. Don't know why that is. So, anyway, before we move on to other topics of the day, like the regular eclipses, before we talk about the total eclipse of our rights in Louisiana, and we talk a little bit more about Donald Trump's stock continuing to plummet and the conservatives continuing to make excuses for them, let's hop on over and hear from Khalil for a little bit, because it's been a minute. Last show, the Blog Talk Radio was broken, and so we couldn't do any calls, but believe, how's it going, man? How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm a little sore. Otherwise, I'm doing okay. Just been exhausted. I don't know why. Just lots of walking around and doing errands. Errands, E-E-E-R-R-A-N-D-S. I didn't want to make it sound like I was doing errand. Because my wife has a broken foot or a fracture right below her toe, and she just found out that she needs to wear the boot for at least two more weeks, so I've been having to do more of the heavy lifting around the house. Plus, we had to replace the water heater last week, which meant we had to clear out a bunch of the garage, and so with all that and overcompensating for the fact that my knee's already hurt, it's just a mess. So I'm tired. But we're still doing the show. We're still going to plug on through the show and still going to have some fun talking about politics. So what have you been up to, Khalil?
Nothing much. I don't know if I've asked you this. I may have asked you. You ever written the Amtrak?
I have written Amtrak, yes.
I found out that sometimes, I don't know if you know this, but sometimes the station attendants and some of the other employees are undercover officers. Did you know that too?
I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, on airplanes, you do have those people who are the air marshals or whatever, and they don't play the part of the stewardesses or whatever the host's name or whatever it is, the people who deliver your drinks and everything. They don't do that. But I wouldn't be surprised to find out that they're undercover people, you know, working around in and around our railway systems, simply because of the fact that that is an opportunity for people to create shenanigans, and, well, there you go. Did you happen to find one or talk to one,
yeah,
or what happened?
Yeah, someone knew about it, and then not only that, but when I was sick at the Amtrak station, one of the station attendants had called 911, and I believe that they called 911 straight from their radio, and when the attendant went outside, they said the police were here. And there was no cop car, there was no detective car, no FBI car, anything like that. It was just the station attendant, and they had on they had like those types of sunglasses that Men in Black had.
Huh.
In the very first one.
Interesting. So.
And
were the sunglasses on today? Because it might have just been for the eclipse. I'm just kidding.
No, this was a while ago.
Okay.
And basically, it was polarized sunglasses, and basically what they did is they either called another attendant to call 911, or they dialed it from their radio. And basically, I believe that they actually helped the ambulance come, like they directed the ambulance too.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, again, it wouldn't be surprising to find out that there are undercover workers, undercover officers working around in and about our local railways, especially at the train stations, because, you know, again, that is a prime opportunity for people who want to do no good. So it does make sense to have people there to make sure that they don't.
Yeah. But, yeah, also one of the things I was saying is one of the things we should also do is, as far as firearms go, we should basically have the same rules that the police have. You know, if you in order to get your firearm, and if you get the firearm, you before you get a firearm, you need to be tested, like you know, go through a class, and see, it'll also test what if they mean fully what they say when they say if the police can have a so can we. Because we know how they are. When someone counters their argument, they want to counter it back.
Right. Well, you know, if somebody tried to do that, I'm sure at the moment at least, there's a problem with the makeup of the Supreme Court and anything that's going to challenge constitutionally, you know, interpreted rights. The problem with passing any laws like that now simply is you risk having the Supreme Court rule on it and say, no, screw you, we're not going to let you do what you want to do. So do you try and implement things that are be good for public safety at the state level if you know that it can get challenged all the way up to the Supreme Court, and this activist conservative Supreme Court will absolutely just nerf whatever it is that you try to do, and if they don't outright kill it? Or do you just sit there and wait for a more amenable Supreme Court, in which case it means you're not doing anything in the short term to help deal with the problem? So it's a catch-22, if you will.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anything else you want to chat about before we move on to the topics?
I also am going to Quicksburg, Virginia, and it's Shenandoah Cavern.
Mm-hmm.
Down there, I've never been there before. It's close to D.C. and Northern Virginia. But do you know if that National Park Service owns that place?
I mean, I'm from Baltimore originally, but my knowledge of the geography doesn't go down that south. I can't really say whether or not if they do or not.
All right. Well, thank you. And I'm gonna listen to the radio station some more.
Okay.
So you don't have to fully disconnect. Just put me on.
I'll just mute you. That's fine. I'll put you on hold. Cool.
Thank
All right. Thanks, Khalil, again, friend of the show, Khalil. Thank you very much for calling in. We always appreciate you calling in and adding your two cents to everything. So again, you can all call in as well. 914-803-4131. 914-803-4131. This is Liberal Band Radio. Mondays and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central here on liberalbandradio.com. twitch.tv/liberaldanradio, or if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, we're at blogtalkradio.com/liberaldan. Well, did I read correctly that Jeff Curry is wearing a shit? Or he said procrastinate, I'm wearing a shit now that says reasons I procrastinate, .. I'm sure he meant shirt, but it says he's wearing a shit now, and I had to withhold a chuckle as Khalil was talking. Nick Rich, astronomers can predict eclipses in the far future. When's the next one that will cross the continent next year? I think it's 2045 is the next one that crosses North America, at least part of it. I think it crosses Florida. I don't know how much else of North America it crosses. I forget. I don't remember exactly what the image showed when I saw it earlier, but if you want to watch one here, it's got to be 2045. Now, according to Bill Nye, the science guy, or one of the other big scientists out there was saying that eclipses are not always that rare. I mean, that you can get them like every year and a half. However, since the Earth's, you know, surface is like 70% water, a lot of the times when the eclipses happen, they're happening over water and not over land. And when you would have the eclipse, you know, it's also possible that we're just on the other side of the Earth at the time, so we don't get the opportunity to see it. But we did happen to get the opportunity for those who could see it today. I didn't even bother trying because we already knew that we had cloudy weather predicted for the day. So nobody here in New Orleans got to see any anything close to an eclipse, unless they were happen to see a Mitsubishi eclipse driving down the street, in which case maybe they did see an eclipse. I don't know. But, you know, you don't want to look directly at those cars or, you know, you might go blind. I told my oldest son today when I came home from Costco, I was like, oh, no, I can't look at you. I might go blind. And he looked at me for a second. Then he got mad because he realized I was making a joke and he hates when I do puns, even though he does puns himself. Anyway, we got Wes on the line. What's going on, Wes? How are you today?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You sound great today. So there you go. You sound great. No echo, no nothing. Things. Everything's working perfect.
Very good. But now I lost my topics. I wrote them down, though. I put them in your chat already.
All
my
right.
Worms. My
your worms.
My
what
robins
worms?
And my worms and my
uh-huh.
cats.
Okay.
Now, my compost piles. Yeah, nothing important. Looking for an eye. Should I tell that one?
Sure.
I lost an eye a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, I got to tell about my foot first.
Okay, tell us, oh, yeah, your foot, because you had a, I think you said something about having a broken foot like 15 years ago, and how long did it take to heal?
I broke it in November.
Uh-huh.
I got the hard cast off about 2 months later, right around Christmas, you know, Christmas break, and then I got to come back to school the next year walking with one of those walking soft casts.
Right.
But I wasn't released from therapy until the end of April. And then they weren't totally sure about it. The therapist wanted the surgeon to say I was okay, and the surgeon wanted the therapist to say I was okay. They'd already extended the number of therapies, you know.
Right.
It was terrible. You feel like a cripple, you know, but you also learn a lot of stuff.
You learn
who loves you as part of it, you know. Luckily, my parents were still alive, and, you know, my dad could drive me around a little bit because I couldn't drive.
Cassie has a boot. She doesn't have a full-on cast because it's a minor fracture, but still, because it's right at the tendon on the foot, it's just not healing as fast as we might like it to. So she can drive if she wants to. She just has to take the boot off while driving. But typically, if we're going places, I'll be the one that drives.
I got so I could do that. That would probably happen around this time in 2010.
Mm.
I got to take the boot off, you know, when I was, you know, gradually they let you take it off little by little, you know.
Right.
So anyway, you remember the experience, so in some ways just the memory makes it good, but in other ways, that was a terrible time in my life. But
I can
at the
imagine.
Same time, I still had my parents,
uh-huh.
you know, and they were so helpful, you know, and they were there for me all the time whenever I needed, and you think about stuff like that, and then you also get sad because you miss your parents and all that stuff. So
right.
I'm just rambling.
That's fine. You know, we like to
say
we like
whenever
to,
you want. I'm kind of waiting.
the first kind of little bit of the show, we like to give people the opportunity to stroll on in before, and we talk about some random stuff at the beginning before we get to the meat of the topics, and then of course afterwards we then fool around a bit to. You know, with some of the topics as well, but let's see.
I didn't tell you about losing my eye.
Oh, yeah, losing your eye. What about losing your eye?
I found an eye this morning or today while I was out with the eclipse and my compost piles and my worms and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I found it, and it had been on a tree that I cut down – probably 3 or 4 years ago I had cut down
mm-hmm.
and had a face on it, a tree face. If you ever saw those in the stores, you know, it's like they put an old man's face on a tree.
Right.
It's kind of cool looking. Anyway, the eye disappeared. And when I saw another in the store, I bought a whole new face, you know, for the tree, mm-hmm. but all I needed was the eye. So I replaced it and just kind of forgot about it. And then today while I was, you know, out there putzing around, I just saw it there lying in the garden.
Huh.
That was kind of cool. But now you know what? I can't find
well,
the rest
well,
of the
anybody,
face.
Well, if anybody has the thing where if they play around too much and they lose an eye, they just know where to go. They can go find your yard and they can find the eye that they lose. So there you
I'll
go.
I'll pound it right onto their head. Yep.
Oh,
you,
my.
You have to have a
graphic.
Nail. Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, things, deeper subjects, you know, when you're not looking for something, you find it.
Yep.
But sometimes you're looking for things and you can't ever find them, even if they're right in front of you.
I had the weirdest thing happen. Like, you know, I give a lot of this, you know, take as much salt as possible. And I've not been religious for a while. My ex-girlfriend at the time, or my girlfriend at the time, who's now my ex, obviously, she wasn't very religious either, but her mom was a very big Catholic, and she, I think my ex had lost like her glasses or something. And
yeah.
And then I forget which saint, someone in the chat who knows might be able to say what saint it is, or maybe, you know, there's some
lost thing.
Yeah. There's a saint of lost things where you're supposed to like say,
yes.
Put money in an envelope.
I can't remember either.
Yeah. You put money in an envelope and you say, I'm going to give this money to charity if you help me find my glasses or whatever, and then you're
yeah.
supposed to be able to find. And like, I'm like, all right, whatever. That's silly. And then, of
Dude.
Course, like 5-10 minutes later, she finds her glasses. I'm like, this is just coincidence. This is just coincidence. But
I think it's,
you know,
Saint Jude is the guy of lost causes, the saint for lost causes.
I don't think it's lost causes. I think it's actually lost things. But
oh, okay.
But the other thing I have is, like, supposedly, like, if you're having problems with, like, a neighbor, you're supposed, there's another saint thing. You're supposed to take a statue of that saint and put it upside down and bury it in their yard or something like that. And so, like, my mother-in-law and her husband at the time, and when Cassie was younger, well before I knew any of them, they did that because their neighbors would like sit up on their roof and look into their yard, and they were just very horrible people apparently. So they
yeah.
did that. And a week later they sold their house and they moved. I'm like, what?
Can I tell you one thing though?
Go right
My
ahead.
Church doesn't believe in saints.
Oh, yeah. Are you not Catholic or
kind of like phony things? Huh?
Well, are you not Catholic?
Not Catholic. Nope.
Right. Right. So
My
if you're not Catholic, you're not
going
to believe in the saints. So unless you're
no.
a New Orleans fan, then you'll believe in the New Orleans Saints. But otherwise, yeah, you
some Anglicans believe in saints, and
okay.
and in my church, I guess it's kind of like okay to believe in them, but we don't preach saints, and we sure don't preach anything like
praying to the saints,
we call
or
it tempting
well,
God.
A lot of times,
but
evangelicals will call
no
the Catholics doing praying to the saints, but even though they're just asking for the saints. For intercession on their behalf, as my understanding,
as
the bad Jew or whatever, but
or as if something that they did actually as a human, you know, some
right.
spell they cast or some prayer they said or some good deed they did was going to take them to heaven or make the miracle they wanted to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right,
you know. Like they say, don't pray for the lottery. If you pray for the lottery, you will not win it.
Well, that's a good guess, because odds are you're not going to win it anyway, even though I do buy my Powerball tickets, because just in case, what the hell, I'm not going to miss the $2. But, yeah.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, the idea that...
And everybody that wins always thanks God.
Yeah. Well, just like everybody who who plays in like the Super Bowl or whatever is like... I want to thank God, Jesus
thank
Christ
my Lord
gave me
and
the
Savior,
ability,
Jesus Christ.
Gave me the ability to catch that game-winning interception or whatever, or that fumble recovery to touchdown. And you never hear anybody
God
like on the other side going, Jesus made me fumble. Like
the devil.
Like, God made me fumble the ball. It's all God's fault that we lost this game. Everybody.
That's all God's fault. Everybody
praises
that,
God
we?
For the good things, but then won't be like, well, you know what? Well, some people will be like, well, it was just God's. Usually when people tell people that it was God's plan, typically that's when they're trying to tell other people how to deal with it when other people are having their own problems. Not many people will then go when something bad happens to them that they won't necessarily be like, oh, it was just God's plan, I guess. So,
yeah, well, my church believes in that kind of thing, believes in God's plan, too, except we kind of believe that God's plan is more wonderful than we can even imagine. And, you know, we're just heading there. We're not there yet, but we're heading there. And there's not much we can do, but, you know, enjoy the ride.
Yeah, well, you know, that happens.
I guess
unless the ride gets taken back over by you know who.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Donald.
Yeah. And the Russian church. What do you know about the Russian church?
Well, not too much, but I don't go much into the the Orthodoxy or whatever. I forget exactly what it's called.
Yeah. And we don't really talk about Ukraine either, and there is a little bit to do with Ukraine and the Russian church, but
there's the claim that Zelensky shut down Russian churches, but in reality, Zelensky only took actions against those churches that were actually being used as fronts for Russian propaganda and BS like that. So
there was no way he could turn down all the churches or just rename them. Say you're a Ukrainian Orthodox Church now, because their master, the Pope, their kind of Pope, whatever they call him, is in Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
because the
real person in charge is Vlad Putin. Vlad Putin is the one who's totally in charge because, you know.
Yeah, he kind of isn't in charge.
If you don't
of the
listen
church,
to Putin,
too.
You end up meeting God much sooner, you know.
Well, if you're not a friend of Putin's, you don't become the Pope.
Nope.
But anyway, that's all. And they can have wives, too. Whatever they call their hierarchy, they're allowed to have wives. In fact, they're encouraged. Maybe.
Well, so can Jewish guys. Jewish rabbis can have wives, too. The idea that you shouldn't be able to marry is, like, to me, silly. Like, why would you keep a whole bunch of people who would want to otherwise, you know, serve their faith away from being,
well, in
you
the
know,
Catholic Church, and some people in the Methodist Church believe this too, that a minister should be holier than everybody else.
Well,
and,
I mean,
you know, they,
there's a dirty
they
joke
always
there
kind
for
of
somewhere
pretend
for Jeff
to, be.
To make. Sorry.
Yeah. Both of my parents were ministers.
Uh-huh.
Both of my mom and my dad, so I had no choice. I had to be holy. Yeah.
Jeff Curry, if I won $1 billion, I might believe in God, mainly because I don't play the lottery. It reminds me of a Jewish joke where a guy keeps praying to God, and every week he's like, God, could you help me? I want to win the lottery. And every week he prays to God to win the lottery, and he finally goes up to heaven after he dies, and he gets to speak to God, and he said, God, every week I prayed and prayed that you would help me win the lottery, and you never did. Why did you never let me win the lottery? And God goes, well, you could have helped me by buying a ticket. So
yeah, I've heard stuff like that. Very, very close.
So there's also a thing like that when it comes to, I had one, there's one that people use like during a great flood or whatever, and where the guy comes along and he's stuck on his roof in a great flood or whatever, and somebody, and he's praying for God to help him, and a boat shows up, and he's like, no, thank you, God's going to help me. And then, so the boat drives away, and then second boat comes up, and he goes, and a guy and offers him help to leave. No, God's going to help me. And then the third one again comes along, another boat comes along. God's going to help me. I don't need your help. and then he dies on the rooftop, goes up to heaven, and says, God, I prayed and prayed for you to help me. You never did. And God's like, I sent you three boats. So.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy if you think about it. But it's kind of human nature, too, for some people that are so, so faithful. I've told the stories about my mom and dad probably too many times, but they really thought that God was going to, you know, bring them their joys and
right.
They bought them deformed children instead.
Yeah. Well, like they had this one, like I actually created a version of that one during the pandemic of the boat story. The guy was like, I'll be safe if I pray to God. I don't need any other help to survive the pandemic or whatever. And so somebody comes along and offers them a mask. I don't need a mask. I have God. And somebody else comes along and offers a vaccine and says, I don't need a vaccine. I have God. Then one day he dies and God, why didn't you help me be saved from the pandemic? And God's like, well, I sent you the guy with the masks. I sent you the guy with the vaccines, and you said no to him. So what do you want me to do? So.
Right. Yeah. Our church believes in science. They believe that science is flawed, but they also, I should get in trouble for telling too much about what our church believes in. But the New Testament in many ways is more valuable than the Old Testament. And I know some people don't think that, but some of the Eastern religions go by a sort of Jewishness more.
Well, yeah, I mean, typically the whole idea of Christianity, as I understand it, is simply the fact that, everything is retcon, to use a nerdy term. They take everything from the past and they all changed it to now meet the new Testament, and it's the new what I've jokingly called the new fan fiction. So,
it is, and the old stuff was that Jesus said he wasn't there to cancel out the laws and the prophecies and stuff. He was there to fulfill them. Like everything he did, they were trying to assimilate it with a verse from the Old Testament. Most of them were like Psalms because the people liked the songs the most, and the poems and the Proverbs and all that stuff. That's what the Jewish people knew. And so Jesus was, what's his name? There shall a star come out of Jacob. What's his name? Not Daniel.
Solomon?
Who is the prophet?
Solomon?
The prophet that proclaimed the coming of the Messiah.
Isaiah?
Might have been Isaiah.
You're testing my knowledge from way back. It's been a minute since I've studied a lot of this stuff. So.
Well, I don't know a whole lot of Old Testament because everything I've studied has mostly been the new one. But I kind of like the stories in the Old Testament. I don't believe a damn one of them. But
Of things. Look, there are people who I think have been helped with their faith. Like I talked about one person who is a regular caller of that conservative talk show that I listen to sometimes in the morning. And this guy calls in. He had major drug problems, major alcoholism problems, and he found faith, and his faith allowed him to find his way out of that. More good for him, but just don't try and push it on me. Don't use your government and push other things on me because that's what makes hypocrisy. But I don't want to dwell too much on religion and faith. But do you have anything else you want to add in, Wes, before we move on to the topic?
I was thinking something about religion and faith, so I better not say it. Hey, I'd like to say hi to everybody in there. Everybody in your room feels like old friends. There aren't any of those wussies in there. Yeah, and I'm not saying anything about – everybody's pretty nice to me for the most part.
Well, yeah.
A few of them.
As long as you're nice to people, hopefully they'll be nice to you back. But Again, thank you for calling in, Wes.
I'm trying not to call them names. You know, the ones I call the names at, they're the ones I like the most.
Well, you know,
some
people think
that,
some people
don't.
Some people get that, some people don't. So, but anyway, thank you, Wes, for calling in again. Appreciate you.
Yep.
Have a good rest of the week.
Love you, Danny. You know I do.
Love you too, Wes. Have a good one.
Yeah, bye-bye.
All right, there's Wes, everyone. I did want to see one thing. Somebody was being pedantic, I guess, in the chat room, saying you can't be an atheist and an agnostic. I would disagree. I think agnostic means that you – atheists can have two different readings. Atheist can be somebody who doesn't believe in God, and atheist can be somebody who lacks religion. So you could be an atheist agnostic by lacking religion and just saying, you know, you're kind of wishy-washy on it or whatever. I don't know. I think you can be both. I think it's reasonable to say that you're both. But, and again, you could agree to disagree.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. Why did Joel Osteen begging for $100 million to pay off his debt? I guess he probably tried to refinance his new Learjet or his whatever G6, and he, you know, failed miserably, and then he needs... now he needs money to help him with his new financing terms, I guess. Cynthia from Texas is here. Good to see you, Cynthia. Cynthia, appreciate you. Face it, we are in the process of passing along accumulative knowledge from generations and in written form. Relying on one book is pretty stupid. The Bible is more useful as a level for the table. Well, you know, there's some good stories in the Bible, but I've also often said that you can get good moral stories from lots of things. You could watch Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with your kids, then you can have your kids learn several lessons from that as well. So you should get a wide range of learning, of high quality learning, and be able to use that to shape your worldview and have yourself be exposed to many different beliefs. I remember my when we were still living with my mom, when me and my mom were still living with her parents, she was taking a class, and one of the classes that she was taking was kind of like a theology class, but like a class on all religions. So one of the things that they had to do is she had to get the Quran and had to read some passages of it for part of her grades, part of her tests, or whatever they were. She was going to be tested on certain things from the Quran, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, with reading other people's texts. I mean, I read the New Testament sometimes just to try to understand what people who are Christian believe, why they believe those things that they believe. But her dad was so mad, the one that adopted her, was so mad that she would bring a Quran into the house because, you know, to him that was sacrilegious to do. I mean, this is the same person who, well, did things he wasn't supposed to, as we've talked about before on the show, which is why I no longer refer to him as grandfather. However, this is also the guy that would, like, hypocritically, you know, he would eat bacon when out, but he wouldn't want to have bacon in his freezer or his refrigerator, just in case the rabbi came over one day, and just in case they may be like, oh, look in his fridge, why do you have bacon in your fridge? It was all kind of silly. I've read bits and pieces of the Satanic Bible. I've not read it from cover to cover. I haven't read it from cover to cover, babe. Sorry. The Bible is accurate if thrown at very close range. Hilarious. Congratulations on your new job, Cynthia. Get some good sleep. It's always good to see people have it. Let's see, does Dan have a rant already set up, or is it improv Monday? I don't do a fat man rant every week. I mean, I might go into one. I do have a hypocrite of the week set up. We're going to get to that in a second, very shortly. In fact, as soon as I scroll to it is when we'll get to it. The big hook. Speaking of which, be careful of the scammers pretending to be the DNC and RNC looking for support. Well, that's one of the reasons why I never answer an unsolicited call for money. Like when people start like, hey, my name is so-and-so and I'm calling from the DNC and I want to get, you know, so get money for if you support Joe Biden, this, that, the other. And I'll be like, okay, I will be supporting Joe Biden. If I make a campaign contribution, I'll go to his campaign website and make it directly on his website, because I'm not going to give money to somebody who's asking for me unsolicited, asking for that money unsolicited. So anyway, but it is a good thing to watch out for. Atheism is having a good relationship with reality. I used to be of the idea. I used to say this back in the day, that being, if you, because I used to be a strict atheist, means you don't believe, you believe that God doesn't exist. So, but you know, it's kind of like you can't prove a negative. So I used to be like, well, if you're an atheist, doesn't that take more faith? Doesn't that take just amount of sign of faith? Because you're proclaiming that there's no God. It's not, you're not just saying I don't have enough evidence that to believe that God exists or not. It's just you're proclaiming that there's no God. And then I realized, well, we do the same thing with the Easter Bunny, right? If the whatever, if you have whatever other mythological creatures that people might believe in, you know, they might say, hey, such and such is true, or no, it's not. Well, if you don't believe in it, well, that means you have faith. No, it doesn't take any faith to believe in. For me to not believe in made up characters made to make children act right. So, good night, Suzanne. Good to see you. Thank you. Farts are funny to kids. Farts are funny to everybody. Wes, come on, it's not just kids. Anyways, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and listen to this week's Hypocrite of the Week, and then we'll start talking about today's show. This week's Hypocrite of the Week is Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry for being a supposed conservative against wasteful government spending and handouts, who now wants to create educational savings accounts so families can take money out of the school system and send them to private schools. But the total amount a child can get is not enough to pay for most private schools, meaning this is just a giveaway to well-to-do families and leaves poor families behind. To see who next week's Hypocrite of the Week will be, tune in Mondays and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central at LiberalDanRadio.com and Switch.tv/LiberalDanRadio for more talk from the left. That's right. All right, so there you go. So what are we talking about with this one? We've decided that, you know, every once in a while we're going to do a show that talks about Jeff Landry and how horrible of a governor he is and how what harm he's bringing to the citizens of Louisiana. We could talk a lot about that today. So this is what the initial bill dated March 17th, 2024 states. Child Education Savings Account Program creates and provides for a program to provide state funding for the education, let's see, of certain students who have been victims of, well, this is something different. I don't know. Who have been victims of bullying at an non-enrolled public school. Proposed law creates Education Savings Account Program to be administered by the Department of Education in accordance with the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education rules. Requires LDOE to allocate from funds appropriated or otherwise made available an amount equal to the state's average per pupil allocation as provided in the Minimum Foundation Program or MFP formula, considering all weighted student characteristics, to develop a system for parents to direct account funds to participating providers. Provides that funds must be used for qualified educational expenses. Up to 50% of total funds deposited into the account in a school year may roll over if unused. Funds may be returned to the state's general fund under certain circumstances. Provides that up to 5% of appropriated funds may be withheld for program administration. Provides for student, school, and service provider eligibility. Specifically requires participants to be a report. This is just reported victim of bullying. This is the initial one. Let's see if there's another one that's different than this one. That's just for people who have been bullied. Creates and provides for a program to provide state funding for the education of students with exceptionalities not enrolled in public school. To amend RS-17, whatever, blah, 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 blah. For the purposes of this chapter, a school is defined as an institution of teaching or children consisting of adequate physical plant, whether owned or leased, instructional staff members or students. For such an institution to be classified as a school within the meaning of this chapter, instructional staff members shall meet the following requirements. if a public day school or a non-public school which receives local, state, or federal funds or support directly or indirectly, they shall be certified in accordance with rules by the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education, or BESE. Let's see, Education Scholarship Amount Program. Account means an account established pursuant to this chapter. Account funds means the funds deposited to the account. Well, duh. Let's kind of scroll through the definitions. The Education Scholarship Account is hereby created. The department shall administer the program. State board shall adopt rules for the program. Trying to get down to the actual amounts if they've listed. A student is initially eligible for an account if he is enrolled in kindergarten or was enrolled in the Louisiana public school during the previous school year and meets all of the following criteria. He is a student with an exceptionality. Why is it he, not they? Because women should be able to get it too, young women. Student's parent submits an application for the account. Student's parent signs an agreement promising all of the following. Not to enroll the student in public school while participating in the program, to use account funds only for qualified education expenses of the student, yada, 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 the signed agreement, yada, yada, yada. So this is just on persons with exceptionalities. However, according to this article here, there's different amounts that are made available based off of who those people are. That's not the right one. See, according to BatonRougeProud.com, BRProud.com, Louisiana Governor-elect Jeff Landry is pushing a bill that would create education savings accounts for students to use tax dollars to go into private school of their choice. Louisiana Giving All True Opportunity to Rise bill, or LA Gator Giving All True Opportunity to Rise bill. Nice. Is advancing in the legislature. Let's see if this one has, let's see, HB 745. That might be the right one. Text. Re-engrossed, because it is gross. Ba-dum-bum. Creates for the LA Gator Scholarship Program a universal school choice program. For the purpose of this chapter, defines a school again. Charter schools, exemptions, requirements, notwithstanding any state law, rule, or regulation to the contrary, a charter school established and operated in accordance with the provisions of this chapter and its approved charter, and the school's officers and employees shall be exempt from all statutory mandates or other statutory requirements that are applicable to public schools. Okay. Let's see. Definitions, account funds, participating student means a student who's been determined to be eligible to participate in a program and for whom an account has been established for this chapter. Let's scroll all the way down here. The Department of Quarterly Admissions shall allocate to each account from funds appropriated or otherwise made available to the program an amount equivalent to 160% of the average state and local allocation per pupil as provided by the MFP, Minimum Founding Program, for a student who meets the criteria in that section of the law. For students with exceptionalities, an amount equivalent to 80% of the average state and local allocation per pupil for a student from a family with total income that does not exceed 250% of the federal poverty guidelines, an amount equivalent to 55% of the average state and local allocation per pupil as provided by the Minimum Foundation Program for any other student. So basically what that means is students whose family makes below 250% of the federal poverty line would be able to get $7,550 in tuition assistance that they could spend at any other school. All others can get up to $5,190, except for the people or students with exceptionalities, i.e. either, I think, gifted and talented, or on the other side of persons with IEP can receive up to $15,099. The Department of Education says there are an estimated 94,066 students in public schools and 18,230 in private schools that could qualify for this amount. Now, so basically, did I even play the Hypocrite of the Week? I don't know if I did. Let's just play it again. This week's Hypocrite of the Week is Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry for being a supposed conservative against wasteful government spending and handouts, who now wants to create educational savings accounts so families can take money out of the school system and send them to private schools. but the total amount a child can get is not enough to pay for most private schools, meaning this is just a giveaway to well-to-do families and leaves poor families behind. To see who next week's Hypocrite of the Week will be, tune in Mondays and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central at LiberalDanRadio.com and Switch.tv/LiberalDanRadio for more talk from the left. That's right. All right, so let us look at, according to a Jesuit NOLA, New Orleans Area Schools. The Jesuit is one of the local non-private, non-public parochial schools in the city of New Orleans. It's a high school, and it has an enumerated list of the amount of places that people can, what people can pay or what people will pay towards their tuitions at New Orleans area non-public schools. Let's bring this down here for a second. We're gonna share this on the podcast so everybody can take a look-see, if you will. Let's just flip over here to the alternate. There we go. Tuition comparison, New Orleans area schools. We can make this bigger. Isidore Newman School, tuition, $24,966. Fees, $2,719. For a grand total for the annual year of 2020 to 2021, so this is 4 years ago now, for the grand total of $27,685 to send your kid to school. Even if you're a child with an exceptionality, and even if you can get that amount of money, find that other thing real quick before I lose it. There we go. All right, let's come back to the alternate screen again. So even if you're a student with an exceptionality and are eligible to get $15,099 to help you with your educational costs every year, you're still going to be coming up $12,000 and change less than what you need to be able to go to Isidore Newman School. St. Martin's Episcopal School, $24,450. Louis McGee, $24,000 total. Menorah Park Country Day, so this is not just New Orleans, this is surrounding parishes, $22,000. Academy of the Sacred Heart, $20,000. So here we're getting into some of the lower cost schools. Jesuit High School, $9,950 is what their price. And the lowest one here is $8,599. But I'm just talking right now about the students with exceptionalities. Students with exceptionalities get $15,099. So students with exceptionalities could go anywhere from Ursuline Academy down here, and they'd be able to make it in. So the student with an exceptionality may be able to have a shot of taking advantage of this. Students whose families make below the the 250% of the poverty line can get up to $7,550. The Louisiana Department of Education reports that 406,101 students in public schools and 24,471 in private schools would fall under the 250% of federal poverty guidelines and could be eligible under this formula. Now, if you're making $7,550, you still are coming up $2,200 short to be able to go to Jesuit, which is the one that made this document. And then it just, except for St. Mary's, which is $885.99. None of these are lower than $7,550. So if you're a student living in poverty, you probably don't have enough extra money to be able to pay the extra at least $1,000 to go to St. Mary's or more to go to St. Paul's, St. Aug, Chapel, Dominican, Archbishop Shaw, Archbishop Hannon, Mount Carmel, Archbishop Rummel. All of these schools are still probably out of their price range, because if you're in poverty, you're not going to be able to go to Brother Martin, which is a pretty well-known high school around here, because you're still going to fall just under $4,000 short. And I don't know how many people who's living under the poverty line, who's living 250% of the poverty line, are going to be able to come up with another $4,000 to be able to pay for the tuition to make up the difference between this and something else. So all others can get up to $5,190. So $150,202 public and $107,094 private students would fall under this funding category. About so everybody else gets $5,190. So yeah, none of these are under $5,190. But if you're somebody who's already sending your kids to these schools, what, you now get a discount from the state? You're not going to save 50%, so you're not helping anybody except for the people who are already able to afford these schools to be able to get to be able to save money, I guess, and spend other things. So this is a handout to people, to parents who can already afford to send their kids to these schools. There might be a few that fall through that trickle through who may be like, well, I can't send my kid to a private school, but now with these funds I can. But everyone else who's in the private schools already are going to be like, oh, cool, free money from the government into my pocket so I can do whatever it is I want to do with it. Maybe the students with exceptionalities things will help a little bit for some because De La Salle, St. Scholastica, Holy Cross, Mother Mar, but here's the other problem. All these schools are religious schools. So what if you're not Christian? What if you're not Catholic? What if you're not somebody who wants to send your kid to a – what if you don't want to send your kid to a school that's, you know, religious in nature? And you want to send them to a – you don't want to send them to a, quote, parochial school. You want to send them to a school that doesn't teach religion. Well, then you're SOL, I guess, at this point. Because I think maybe one of these schools or two are not – religious in nature, and all of those schools you can't even afford with the students with exceptionalities formula. According to this article, lawmakers have been trying to pass a version of this bill for years. The bill is estimated to cost between $298 million a year once it's opened up to everyone, but some projected costing upwards of $500 million a year. You either have to be willing to raise that amount of new taxes or you have to take that from somewhere else in the budget, said Jen Mahler, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana. Lawmakers pushed back against the financial concerns, saying that the bill states the legislature will determine how much money will be put into the program. Our responsibility is solely to decide if we have the ability to fund this. If we don't, then no student will receive these dollars, says Jack McFarland, a Republican from Jonesboro, Louisiana. School Boards Association wants to have tests in place to prove students would actually benefit from the program. The group was against the voucher program that is currently in place when it was proposed. We have that kind of money. We want to have that true accountability. Some advocacy groups fear students in public schools will move to the private schools and take away MFP dollars from them. There could be savings if a large number of students leave a school by not needing to hire as many teachers. If a select few leave, and the MFP money goes with them, but the school still has bonds and other expenses to pay. There's also concern that students who already can afford private schools will take funds away from low-income students. Some people want to have a set priority of students when the funding is open to all. If it is subject to appropriation and you appropriate less money than there is demand, then what happens? It's first come, first choice, and I've heard that's a possibility. I would be concerned about that because then you have to potentially wealthier families who would have access to it. The bill saw a bipartisan vote for the yeses and noes, and now heads to the House for full debate. So this is just one of many examples of Jeff Landry's legislative agenda when he wants to be able to take money, public money, and pass it off to people who don't need it and to give it to the parochial schools who shouldn't be getting it. There was one example of vouchers from way back in the day, back when Bobby Jindal was governor of Louisiana. There was one example where they created a voucher program and the kids that were using the voucher program could use these funds in any parochial school, including one that was using the Loch Ness Monster as proof that evolution doesn't exist. There should be some oversight in how funds are spent. But if you have oversight, it means you have to spend more money to do the oversight, which, of course, the Republicans don't like, especially if the Republicans are going to be the ones taking advantage of the program. Much like how when we had the COVID-19 PPP loan issue, they didn't put aside any real money for oversight of how those monies were spent. And as such, people were borrowing the money who shouldn't have been able to borrow the money. But this is par for the course for Republicans, especially in Louisiana, who want to say one thing about government and spending and then do completely another. But as we all know, the host, Nimbus Yosh, the host of the most with the smooth sounds of the Percy podcast, will tell you that hypocrisy is a conservative prerequisite. So this is one of many such ideas that Jeff Landry is bringing to the table to try and wreck the state, because this will take funds out of students' mouths and hands, and it will make it harder for these public schools to be able to teach people what they're supposed to be teaching if they run out of money, if they give all the money. Can QB do the schools give scholarships? Do the schools could forgive any shortcomings? There may be some scholarships that exist for the schools, but there's nothing in the legislation that I'm seeing that says you can only spend these funds at a school that will give a scholarship to help offset the rest, or at schools that give scholarships. So there's no requirement that I can see to spend that money at schools that would provide a scholarship for them for the rest. But even if schools did give a scholarship to help meet the rest, some might. I don't know if all do, but some might. I know there are academic-based scholarships. One of our family friends, their kid who's going into eighth grade, which counts as high school in that school, because their high school, I guess, is 5 years long. Don't ask me why. I don't know. But he took a test. I think the kid might have missed one question on it that would have been a difference in like thousands by for scholarships. So there are scholarships available, but I don't know how many of them are need-based scholarships. I mean, I guess we could do another quick search of the interwebs to see Archdiocese New Orleans student scholarships. Let's see. I'll show student financial assistance. We'll see what the Archdiocese does, because that's most of the non-public schools in New Orleans are part of the Archdiocese. So each school in the Archdiocese of New Orleans sets their own budgets. Nearly all of our schools offer need-based aid or have an academic scholarship program available to families seeking assistance paying tuition. For information about these school-managed programs, families should be in direct communication with their school's administrations and financial aid officers. Find the contact information for your school online here. This just is a link to the people with a list of all the schools. Academy of the Sacred Heart High School. Let's see. Can we link there? I don't want to tell you my location. Find a school. Let's see. This is another link. Oh, that's just the same thing we just looked at. So yeah, there's no guarantee that somebody will be able to get the money, enough money to be able to have them, to be able to get enough money to make up the difference, if you will. Let's see. Let's scroll back. We'll get to some of the other statements about questions and policies and other things. Obviously, P-Dubs, thank you for the stream. You're late. It's fine, P-Dubs. Come here at your own convenience. When our school makes up into the top 10 of any sport in the state, the other 9 are usually private schools. A lot of times that happens. except they have to provide services with the specialists come to the public system. Well, the schools for education, for students with exceptionalities, yes, that there are requirements. There are requirements for those schools to provide assistance as needed when it comes to the like actual teaching help. But that's why the minimum funding program or the MFP will tell you that the schools that get those students, like my son is in a charter school, which is basically still a public school that's privately run in New Orleans. And because he has an IEP, they get more money to be able to handle the services that are needed to be covered since he's there. So if he were to get, I guess, this $15,000 to go spend somewhere, it would include money to help that school be able to afford what have you, whatever they would need to give him the appropriate services that he needs to get. That being said, it's still not enough money for my family to afford most of those schools on that list. Because even, I mean, that we would want to go to at least, because I don't want to send it to an archdiocese school. And all the other ones, if any of the other ones that are on the top are not archdiocese schools, they're still freaking expensive. $12,000 more on top of whatever this formula determines. And that, why would if these schools are going to be like, you know, your typical conservative schools, because a lot of the schools in the area are conservatively run, they're not going to want to bring in people from those neighborhoods, so to speak. They're not going to do that. Why? Because they don't want, their parents are probably going to be just as racist, and they're not going to want to send their kids to, with, quote, those people. What do you mean, you people? So they're going to structure their tuition in such a way so that nobody can go to the school unless you're using some funds out of pocket. And there's nothing in this that prevents that. I don't see anything else that prevents that either. And I don't trust it more than I can throw it or what have, throw whomever, whatever it is. It is what it is. But yeah, it's just one example of many examples of the state of Louisiana. I mean, especially Jeff Landry, who just would love to be a mini Trump anyway. He's trying to figure out how to shake out the cushions of the couch that is our government and have everything fall to the floor. But yeah, as we already saw, we've discussed some of this on a previous show when we were just talking about how they're trying to make changes to the law to like make it so it's harder to get out of prison, trying to make changes to the law to make it harder to get like appeals, even especially appeals. And you have to establish that there's new data, like in a much more stricter way, because they just want to lock people up. They don't care about actual locking up innocent or guilty people up. They just want bodies behind bars, because we have private prisons here in Louisiana, and those private prisons probably make the investors in those private prisons a pretty penny, and they want to be able to make sure that they have their cash cow going. What else? What else we got here from Jeff Landry? Because there's other stuff that they're doing that's terrible. Deregulatory measures for the insurance industry. I mean, how dumb can you get? They want to deregulate the insurance industry. It's already broken here in the state of Louisiana. If you want to do business in Louisiana as an insurer, you should have to write policies to everybody in the state. And if you don't, you shouldn't get to write policies for anybody in the state. We have what's called Citizens Homeowners Insurance, which is the insurer of last resort. So you have people who had to get stuck with Citizens because nobody else was writing in their area. But here's the thing. If you're an insurance company and you're taking on high risk insureds, you should be able to also then cover low risk insureds to offset the risk, because that's how insurance pooling is supposed to work. But conservatives just don't want to understand that, don't want to believe that. They want to basically allow insurers to come to the state and then drop anybody they want whenever they can, then write new policies in safe areas, but not write policies in the dangerous ones. So all of the dangerous policies goes into the possession of the Louisiana Citizens account. You have all those high risk people there, but they don't get the benefit from the low risk people. Meanwhile, the people that the other businesses that you're giving these giveaways to, again, more private businesses getting giveaways from the government or because of the government, they're only having to insure the low-risk people without having to take on the cost of the high-risk people. How do you kill an industry? Follow Jeff Landry's advice. Follow Jeff Landry and what he does. And then there's a consumer protection that I just learned about in Louisiana called the, quote, three-year rule. Three-year rule basically prevents insurance companies from dropping Louisiana property insurance customers who have held policies for at least 3 years and have paid their bills. They are now suggesting that they want to get rid of the three-year rule, and it's a red flag to people who want to do insurers considering Louisiana. If we eliminate this three-year rule, according to Ricky Temple, or is it Temple or Template? Temple says he wants to eliminate the rule. Eliminating it shows that we are serious about reforming our market. No, it shows that we're serious about giving more handouts to insurance companies and allowing them to operate in a way that violates how insurance is supposed to work. Because insurance is supposed to work because you pay into your policy, and then if a catastrophe happens, guess what? They pay you back. And that's how insurance is supposed to work. Now, these people are basically being told, oh, we're going to get rid of the three-year rule, which means you can drop anybody whenever you want. Sense does that make? That's not insurance. That's just allowing people who are policyholders in Louisiana to just keep paying money to an insurer and then have that insurer go, I've taken enough of this money right now. I don't want to hold on to y'all anymore. It's now become too risky to cover people in Louisiana, so I'm just going to drop out. We're going to drop these sets of policies in these certain areas because we feel that they're too risky and too bad for those people who now have to jump onto Citizens and pay maybe, what, $4,000 more a year for property insurance to cover just in case a hurricane comes through. That's not how insurance is supposed to work. You're supposed to pay into insurance until the point where a disaster happens or whatever, and then the insurance pays off from that disaster. You're basically saying that you can have an insurance company come into Louisiana, write policies for however long it feels like it, and then say, oh, well, we've taken enough risk on these people. We're no longer going to write these policies in Louisiana. We're going to take this money and run. Woo, woo, woo. Go and take the money and run. Jeff Landry also wants to rewrite the Constitution of the state of Louisiana. I'm sure he wants to rewrite the federal one as well, but he can't quite do that. He says that we should look into rewriting the state Constitution to allow for more government restructuring. But didn't actually say what restructuring he wanted to get done. Our current system of constitutional protectionism simply does not allow our legislature to implement the needed change, which often leaves the solutions coming too late. We need to clean up the Constitution and place matters in their appropriate statutory context. Those sound like big words for little Jeff Landry. He wants to pare down the state's foundational document, which was adopted in 1974, but has been amended over 200 times in the last 50 years. The lengthy process to put a new version of the Constitution before the voters is expected to begin during the Louisiana legislature's regular lawmaking session. We're going to take a shot at reforming our Constitution, Landry said. There is broad consensus. Louisiana's Constitution has become unwieldy, but not agreement on what adjustments should be made. concern over what changes could get approval has led to this years-long stalemate over whether or not we should convene a convention to revise the document. This year, Landry and others are attempting to overcome that barrier by taking an initial step that wouldn't substantially change laws or protections, at least in the short term. They said that they would not strike down any state laws contained in the Constitution outright or propose new language for the document during a potential rewrite. Instead, they would only streamline the document by removing provisions and relocating them to a state statute where they would remain unchanged for the time being. For the time being, however long that time being is, you don't trust Jeff Landry as far as you can throw him.
And with your bad back, Ed, you shouldn't be throwing anybody.
Any laws, language removed from the Constitution and put in a statute will be easier to amend and repeal. Provisions in Louisiana Constitution enjoy more protections. Changes that require a two-thirds vote. Landry has not said which portions of the Constitution he would like to relegate to statute status, but an advisory commission on constitutional reform he set up after winning the governor's race recommended that most of the state's budget and tax polity in the Constitution come out of the document. So, but who knows what else they'll shove in a constitutional convention? Who knows what else they're going to try and do to try and make it difficult on the people of Louisiana just by starting this tame notion of starting a new constitutional convention? Because once that happens, all games are up, and you could put in whatever you want to put in. Oh, my. Trying to see if what I missed in the show chat. So that's, and we've already talked about what Jeff Landry has done with criminal justice. They had that criminal justice session or the tough on crime session where they've taken ridiculous steps to try and make this into more of a banana republic, into more of a state government that's harmful to the citizens of the state, especially people from coming from marginalized and oppressed communities. And just, you know, we have to keep our eyes on this, because if we don't keep our eyes firmly, squarely on frickin' Jeff Landry, he's going to, again, strut us all the way down the primrose path. And we can't afford that, let alone afford getting Trump in. But we missed our opportunity to fight back against Republicans because we had to go and bring in morons like Katie Bernhardt to run the damn party, and well, that's what you get. Go into the chat. Let's see. Rich people did not pay the insurance, the amount it covers the misconduct. Trump got insurance to underwrite $100 million of his $175 million bond. We know he does not pay anywhere near that much. Probably true. But yeah, we'll definitely can go back into that article more, or into these ideas more as it comes out, as the news comes out as to further actions that take place. We'll be taking a look at such things, because what Jeff Landry is going to do to the state is I'm anticipating it to be horrific. So, let's see, what was the question for me? Got to scroll up. Easy E asks, do you think Trump's statement doubling down on states' rights in regards to abortion will backfire? I think that for sure, because he did not come out against the federal ban. Well, he's gonna play both sides, because Donald Trump doesn't like all of the fact that he likes that he was able to get Roe v. Wade overturned. He likes that part. He likes to be able to point at that to the evangelicals and be like, hey, y'all, look what I did for y'all. I got three justices on the Supreme Court, and we overturned Roe v. Wade and Casey v. Planned Parenthood. Probably doesn't even know about Casey v. Planned Parenthood, but whatever. We got it done. But now he realizes, or maybe somebody else told him, that in doing so, he's awoken the beast. And he doesn't want to, he wants to be able to try and tame the beast as much as possible without pissing off the people on the right who brought him to the dance. So he has to do this tightrope dance now of trying to say what he believes in, but then not. Let's see if I can fill out the exact. I heard bits and pieces of it. Trump, abortion rights, states' rights. Of course, as we all remember, there's no such thing as states' rights. States have powers. People have rights. Because if you read the Ninth Amendment, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights should not be construed or deny others retained by the people. That's the Ninth Amendment. The Tenth Amendment, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited to it by the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people, i.e., there's no mention of rights in the Tenth Amendment, which is where most people understand the theory of states' rights come from. But let's go back to here. Reuters, Trump says the U.S. abortion law should be decided by the states. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump said on Monday that abortion law should be determined by U.S. states, stopping short of proposing a national ban that could have imperiled his chances of swing voters. Of course he did, but now if he won't commit to the national ban, then the hard right-wingers might be like, well, maybe the RF Kennedy guy sounds good after all. Maybe. I scrolled too far down. I lost my, it is what it is. Trump signaled previously that he supported a ban beyond 15 weeks. But again, he has flip-flopped on this so many times. And he's going to say what he wants to say or what he feels that needs to say to different people in order to muddy the water up enough so that hopefully he, for in his sake, in his mind, in his eyes, he doesn't get harmed by it, not realizing that he's already harmed by it because he's already made the dumb moves. Back to, let's do another show reset real quick. Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right. Mondays and Wednesdays here, liberaldanradio.com, which is the YouTube channel, twitch.tv/liberaldanradio, which is the Twitch channel, obviously. We don't pay attention to the chat on Blog Talk Radio, but blogtalkradio.com/liberaldan as well. That's where we have most of our soundboard. So, you know, we can do soundboard type things and play horrible clips that, you know, remind you of Orange Julius, like...
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. Human F being asks, who is the power to gerrymander delegated to? Well, it's delegated to the states currently. But it's delegated to the states, but the states don't have the authority to violate the Equal Protection Clause, to violate the 14th Amendment. So therefore... you have that issue rolling in. So what else? Lost a little bit of train of thought as I scrolled. Jackie, glad to see you weren't raptured. Yes, most of us are not raptured as far as I know. Oh, well, it is what it is. Why couldn't Trump have gotten raptured? I mean, that could have been the easy solution to it all. Wah, wah. Sorry. But yeah. Anything else? Let's see. Newsroom 2020 legislative agenda. I don't know why it's saying Newsroom 2020 legislative agenda because he didn't take office till this year, but you know. Governor, I'm trying to find that. Well, that's just stupid. I don't want to see his. I don't want to see what he believes in because he doesn't believe in anything really. I'm sure Jeff Landry would be a different animal altogether in a different state because he's more worried about winning than he is worried about, you know, actually being a good person. I'm sure this article is going to be banned to me too because, you know. This is an article pretty much just complaining about him, but it doesn't actually have anything new. I slept through the Roger, maybe next time. Right, exactly, Jeff Gray. States don't have rights. people have rights, states have powers. I am starting to get a little zonked already because I didn't sleep well last night. So, again, because my soreness has caused me to not be able to sleep as well as I would have liked to. So we may be stopping the show a little earlier than normal, but we're trying to find a couple more examples of Jeff Landry being a stupid idiot. Jeff Landry proposed legislation. Same BS as corporate full personhood. Exactly. Louisiana Illuminator. Louisiana's governor would gain more control over state government under these six bills. Louisiana governor is already thought to be all-powerful, but a handful of legislative proposals would give Jeff Landry more control over the state government than any of his recent predecessors. Two proposed constitutional amendments would allow Landry to pick most members of the Louisiana Supreme Court and the State Civil Service Commission. What could go wrong there with allowing him to pick most members of the Supreme Court, which oversees hiring and the Civil Service Commission, which oversees hiring and firing of state workers? Another bill gives Landry control over the Louisiana Board of Ethics. What could go wrong? And Landry wants to take control over the Board of Ethics because it dinged him last year for taking a private flight from a campaign donor last fall. So the Board of Ethics tried to smack him down. What's the solution? Not to behave properly, not to follow the laws, but to take charge of the group that's responsible for making sure that he acts correctly. What could go wrong? There's legislation to empower Landry to pick the chairpersons and other officers of hundreds of other states' boards and commissions. Most lawmakers who drafted this bill says Landry is not pushing these proposals. I believe that as far as I could throw my computer desk right now. The sponsors include some of the governor's recent big supporters in the legislature. Landry did not respond for comment on Wednesday when he was asked if he was supporting legislation. Of course he didn't, because why would he? Because he's getting a pass. Why would he rock the vote, so to speak? So let's see. The bill from Senator Blake Miguez from New Iberia would allow the governor, Louisiana House, and Senate to pick whoever they want to serve on the 11-member state ethics board. Under current law, they have to select members from lists of nominees that the presidents of Louisiana's private universities and colleges compile. So it used to be that the universities would compile a list and they would pick from it. Now they're like, screw that. The governor is going to pick his own people. Thank you very much. Again, what could go wrong, y'all? Civil Service Control, Jay Morris, Republican from Monroe, Louisiana, has sponsored an amendment that would give the governor control over nearly all members of the State Civil Service Commission. What could go wrong? Anyway, see. Constitutional amendment sponsored by Mark Wright, Covington, would give the governor the power to appoint Louisiana Supreme Court justices rather than having the voters elect them. Rep. Vinny St. Blanc from Franklin has a bill to weaken the authority of a commission that oversees the governor's mansion and its grounds in downtown Baton Rouge. Instead, the sitting governor would have more control over the facility. What could go wrong? Again, it's ridiculous. Let's give this governor, who has almost unlimited power, more of that unlimited power, shall we? Anyway, it's ridiculous what all they're trying to do. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and call this a show because I'm starting to get a little woo, and I don't want to go too far gone and start rambling more than I've already rambled. So this will be the end of today's episode of Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right. Remember, if you're on Twitch or on YouTube, check out the pinned posts, which has the stream information where you can, not stream information, but the game information where you could, then we'll be talking about on my stream tomorrow, twitch.tv/nerdydan.com. We'll be talking about that, maybe helping some of y'all if you want to help me out, get accounts set up or whatever. I'll just use the link, download the software, just follow the prompts, and you'll get me at least a little bit of money per person who does it. Anyway, so Wednesday, we should have Britt Gandolfi on this Wednesday, talking to you with Britt. So Wednesday, this is Dan Zimmerman with Little Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right.